Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you that your Holy Spirit unites us even now as we listen to and respond to that word. Would you speak through my own human words? Would you give us ears to hear and hearts to receive your word this morning? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said at the beginning of the service, we are continuing in a series called Songs for Every Season. We are looking at the way in which the Psalms put to words what we struggle with as human beings, whether that be fear or grief or, as today, impatience. So what I want to do today is look with you at one of the Psalms, Psalm 13, at the impatience in the psalmist and how he turned to the Lord in the midst of that. And I want to look with you at another post-Easter story of Thomas, usually referred to as Doubting Thomas, but we'll look at a little bit different aspect of that story today. So with that, let's turn to this topic of impatience. I wonder how you're doing. I wonder how you're doing with all this staying at home, waiting for work to resume, waiting for businesses to resume, for the economy to pick back up. If you've been paying any attention at all in the news, you know that is the question of the day. And there is this tension between our safety, how soon is it safe to go back out, and the harm that comes from not restarting the economy. How many people need to be out of work without an income? When does that become more harmful than exposure to the virus? But overlaying all of that or underneath it, I think, is an impatience and a frustration. And we don't really have any place to direct that any more than screaming into the wind when a storm is coming. So we may want to blame this politician or that. We may want to complain with neighbors about the decision of this state or that state. But I believe what's underneath is this difficulty we have with waiting, with discerning what's next. And at the end of the day, whether it's waiting on the virus to pass or become safe enough, or waiting for our state or our local community to open back up and restore jobs and income, at the end of the day, we have to wait. That's one reason I turned to Psalm 13 today. Did you hear how it opens up? It says it again and again. How long, O Lord? How long will you forget me? Will it be forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart day and night? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? And as if that isn't enough, the psalmist goes on to say, won't you answer, won't you consider my questions, O Lord, or I will sleep the sleep of death. I'm going to die if I have to wait much longer. My enemies will mock me and make fun of me. So that's the first half of the psalm, and it's the cry that's on the psalmist's heart. How long do I have to wait? And I want to lift that up to you to say it is okay to say and to feel and even more. I feel like I'm about to die, Lord, from this waiting. I appreciate the Psalms putting human language to what are human feelings. I just can't see what or when the next thing is coming. God, won't you hear my cry? But as with the Psalm last week, that's not where it ends. The psalmist continues to talk it out, to pray it out, to sing it out to the Lord. And it moves to this by the end of the psalm in verses 5 and 6. But I have trusted, Lord, in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation future. It will rejoice again. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. What I want to say, what the psalm models for us, and it's all in there, is that it's okay to be impatient, but also to pray. It is okay to be frustrated, but then also to trust and seek God. It is okay to say, how long, while we also remember how faithful God has been. If anything, this psalm says, hold all that together. That is a healthy way through this waiting that we endure. Just in a phrase, the psalm says it is okay to feel, but also to hope and to do both. So often, I guess out of a presupposition that we can't have those hard feelings at church or with Christians, we stuff them down or we don't, you know, we hide them from each other. But the psalmist says, put it all before God, but also don't turn away in bitterness, but do both. Express everything you're feeling and experiencing before God, and also trust and pray and seek. So I want to turn to the gospel, to another post-Easter story like we did last week. We looked at the two walking on the road to Emmaus last week. Today we want to look at the story of Thomas, the one disciple who wasn't there when Jesus appeared to the disciples. You know, two had run ahead at the news that the women brought. Peter and John ran to the tomb, saw that it was empty, and they went back and told the others. And then Jesus appeared, but Thomas was gone. So you heard just a minute ago his response. Until I see with my eyes and touch his wounds with my hand, touch his nail scars in his side, I can't believe. And usually, rightly, we focus on his questions and his doubt, the tension between doubt and proof and faith. And those are the main important parts of this story. But I want to lift out something that we usually pass right over. Did you hear it in there? That Thomas had to wait 8 days, right? Jesus appeared, I think, on that Easter day. But then 8 days passed before Thomas was able to see Jesus face to face. Can you imagine what that was like? All the buzz with the other disciples and Jesus apparently appearing to other people, like the two on the road to Emmaus. Jesus appearing alive and Thomas saying, well, I haven't seen him. Where is he? And the impatience of, how long, God, will I get to see him? How long do I have to wait for my turn? In 8 days, it's a long time to wait when all your closest friends and family have experienced the thing that you want to experience. To Thomas's credit, when Jesus did appear to him 8 days later, he was quick to move. He moved from demands of proof to faith. There, according to the story, he did not actually have to touch Jesus. Jesus offered, but Thomas's immediate response was to praise him as Lord and God, to offer worship. What a good word for us when God does finally connect with us, appear to us, to not hold back in bitterness. But because, I think this is the pattern I want to hold out today, because we have both shared with God, prayed to God, poured out to God our frustration, our impatience, our need, and trusted that God will be faithful as he has been faithful, we will be most prepared, most ready to respond when God does show up. So, I want to say today, impatience and worship, can they go together? Psalm 13 says yes. Thomas and Jesus say yes. So I want to end with this simple prayer that I think if we can hold these in tension, it will be a blessing to us and lead us toward God. The prayer is this, two sentences. How long, O Lord, and I love you, Lord. How long, O Lord, and I love you, Lord. Amen.